Hey, Radio Nonsense listeners, if your grotty bleaters, sorry, grown-ups, want to help support this podcast, then they can sign you up to the Linda Edition via Apple Podcasts or Acast Plus. The Linda Edition is a version of this very show where adverts appear as often as Linda does, which is never. Yes, including this annoying advert at the beginning. You'll also get the podcast a whole day earlier than everyone else, and you never know, if enough people sign up, there might be bonus content too. Get those grotty bleaters to hit the button on Apple Podcasts or find the confusing link in the podcast blurb to do it on Acast Plus. Linda? You hear that, Linda? You have your own edition of the show, Linda! Ugh. You are listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents! Radio Nonsense! Hello and welcome to Radio Nonsense, the official Comedy Club for Kids podcast that's suitable for all ages from 2 and everything in between. I'm Tiernan, and this week I have been thinking a lot about just how boring car parks are. Yes, that is a boring subject, isn't it? I know it is. It's so boring. I had to walk through a car park the other day and it was the most boring thing in the world. And I'm not even a car. No, actually, that makes sense, doesn't it? I suppose if I was a car, I wouldn't have been able to walk through it. I'd have just had to park there. And if I was a car, then this whole podcast would just be this noise. And Comedy Club for Kids HQ would be full of fumes. So I'm quite pleased I'm not a car. It'd be really annoying anyway, being a car, wouldn't it? You've always got people sat in you and they always sort of demand where you have to go, and they're like dropping your crisps and spilling drinks everywhere and weeing themselves in the back seat, and you'd always have to drink petrol or electrics. And, of course, you'd have car parks, which are boring. If I was a car, I'd be so annoyed at car parks. I mean, think about all the other kinds of parks there are. There's normal park parks, which I think are just called park parks, and parks don't have to park there. Well, then maybe they do. You never see parks driving off, do you? But anyway, whether they have to park there or not, they might have a playground and a cafe and a pond full of ducks who you aren't allowed to feed bread to anymore, so you have to feed them oats, which is silly because ducks can't make porridge. So what do they need oats for? And then you've got theme parks, which is where themes park. And in them, there are roller coasters and rides and fun games and food that is 99% sugar and the other 1% is a chemical that makes everything blue and is usually only found in space. And there's no ducks, but if there were, you could probably throw oats at them. And then you've got science parks, which is where science things happen, and they create potions to make monsters who can then go on slides and swings and feed ducks oats. And then there's skate parks, where skates definitely don't park, they keep moving, so they can go up and down ramps and on swings and slides and feed ducks oats. And then there's deer parks, where deers go on swings and slides and feed ducks oats. Right? Those are all fun. They're all fun parks. And then there's car parks. What happens in a car park? Cars park in it. Boring. Where are the giant car-shaped slides and swings? Why can't you roll down your car window and throw oats at ducks while you shout at them the recipe for how to make porridge? Linda, what do you think about car parks, Linda? Oh, well, it was worth a try. I just can't stop thinking about how boring car parks are with their little white lines everywhere that aren't even laying out where you can play sports. Boring. Anyway, I know what I can do to take my mind off things. This week, I get to announce the winners of the Beasts of Knobbly Bottom competition, where you can win a bundle of both of Emily Jane Clark's very, very funny kids' books after she was on this podcast as a guest just a few weeks ago. And all you had to do was tell me about your own monster animal creation. So, the three winners are Nina, who said a vegetarian vampire vixen, which is lovely alliteration. The vegetarian vampire vixen. I love it. And I don't know whether I'd be scared of that because it's a vegetarian vampire. So would that just mean I don't know, does it just drink tomato juice? It's very hard to know whether or not that would be worrying or not. And then there's Jack and Millie. And Jack said the snaken, a kraken with snake heads at the ends of tentacles, which is terrifying. And Millie said the mercat, who is a mermaid with a cat head, and they are a good monster. You can have one for a pet. I would like that. Thanks, Millie. But would I keep them in the bath or around the house? Like, cats normally hate water. I can imagine it would constantly be really angry with itself having to go in the bath. Very confusing, but brilliant. And Parker, who said, my idea for a monster animal is a Frankenstein's monster axolotl. And he sent in an absolutely amazing picture for that that I will put on our Instagram page. So thanks to all of you. Well done. There'll be a copy of both books going out to Nina, Jack and Millie. You'll have to share. I'm sorry. That's what happens when you're siblings. And to Parker as well. And hopefully they will all be sent in the post ASAP. So that is all for competitions on Radio Nonsense for now, but hopefully we'll have some more on the show soon. And if you didn't win, Emily Jane Clark's Beasts of Knobbly Bottom books are available everywhere, and they are very, very funny indeed. Right, there might be no competitions at the moment, but you can, of course, write into this podcast with any questions that you have that need answering or anything else that you want to let me know. And the way to do that is by asking your flatulent goons, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. If they'd also like to help this show happen, they can sign you up to the Linda edition of the podcast on Acast Plus, Patreon or Apple Podcasts, and you'll get an ad-free version of this show, a Linda-free version of this show, and it will all come out one day earlier than the podcast normally does too. And do check out our comedyclubforkids.co.uk website for all of our live shows and general pictures of otters and the colour yellow. Right, well, that has totally made me forget about how boring car parks are. Oh, no, I just remembered, and they're so boring. Oh, wait, I do have to do one other bit that will take my mind off it. Now it's time for this week's most importantest bit, but this week's question is from a listener called Avi. Now, I only found out how to pronounce Avi's name properly after we recorded the interview. So I'm very sorry, Avi, for saying it wrong throughout our chats with our guest. My name is Tiernan, so I regularly get called the wrong thing all the time, and I know how annoying it is. My name isn't Timran or T-Man or Timothy. It's Tiernan. Anyway, Avi, I do hope you liked your answer, which is definitely better and more exciting than a car park. So here is the most importantest bit. I am very pleased to say that right here on Radio Nonsense is none other than Andrew Barnett Jones, a.k.a. Andrew, who doesn't believe in the colour blue, a.k.a. Anders Barjos III, official royal frog tamer, and as all of our secret agent listeners know you, the camel jumps backwards at 4 p.m. on Sunday. But of course, Andrew, you are very well known for being the first person to put every single animal on Earth into alphabetical order based on surnames, for your incredible invention of the anti-deodorant for people who want to smell more pongy, and of course, most famously, for your popular campaign to have cinemas sell not only popcorn, but also heavy metal corn, country and western corn, and jazz corn as well. Andrew, it's so nice to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you very much for such a wonderful introduction. The anti-perspirant, of course, came out of my work with the animals. It started with the anteater, and then it was the anti-eater, and then it was the antiperspirant eater. And once it's eaten the antiperspirant, that arc stank.
Wow. I didn't realise that your work influenced other parts of your work. That's a really natural way of getting there. I'd never actually seen an antiperspirant eater out in the wild. Where do they sort of get their food?
Well, you don't see them because they're very ashamed.
Right.
You can smell them. You may sometimes just be walking past an alleyway or an open sewer, and you might just get a whiff, and you go, "Yeah, they're antiperspirant eater."
Are they related? Are they related to other whiffy animals? Is the skunk sort of a distant relation, or is this?
Well, there is, of course, the animal with the world's smelliest feet, which is the giraffe.
Yes.
People don't realise that's why their necks are so very long.
Yes, that's a classic evolution.
Shame.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I've met people, and I won't name any names, I've met people who I thought over the years would have grown longer necks to avoid their own feet.
I so desperately want you to name names.
Smelly feet, Steve. We all know a few, but giraffes are the only ones...
Lighthouse Louise. Snakes as well. They start off spherical, little balls, like little rubber bouncy balls, but... one end of them smelled, and so they just gradually stretched longer and longer. That's why they've got no bones in the middle.
Wow.
People don't realise that the jelly snake is entirely anatomically accurate.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And so they also taste of, like, sort of strawberry and raspberry, like jelly snakes do. Is that... I've never actually eaten a snake, so...
You have to get the right salt.
Sure. That makes sense.
I think if you can get a lime snake, they're the best ones.
Right.
Green, obviously, nature's coding. see a red snake, that's strawberry. And if it's got a skull in it, then it's not a snake because we've established snakes have no bones.
Yes, that's a very clever method, actually. That's a very clever. I didn't, you know, I mean, this is already so fascinating to have an expert like yourself on the show. I didn't realize animals were color coded in terms of flavor, but I think it makes quite a lot of sense now. There's lots of different colored frogs, and obviously, I'm guessing the blue ones bubble gum, red ones probably cinnamon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it.
Are we allowed to say if you see a frog that looks a nice bright fruity color, give it a lick and see what it tastes like?
It's, you know, it, they are very, it's why those frogs are very hard to spot, because they don't want anyone doing that.
Absolutely, and it's worth saying that some of them have developed various defense
Yes,
mechanisms
yes.
to stop you licking them. So if you see a toad and you want to lick one, just remember the defense mechanisms. Some of them, for example, will bring out a photo album full of picture after picture of their tadpoles,
Yes.
and they will tell you all about them and which ones have got allergies and which ones are doing well in school, and you will be there for days.
Yes.
So it's best just to leave them be.
Really awful, really awful. There are also a selection of, I know, small Amazonian frogs who will just call your parents and tell you off there and then. They'll just say, let them know this, you know, your child's trying to lick me. It's awful, and there'll be immediate consequences.
Well, we all know the jingle.
The jingle.
If you lick a toad, your parents' minds will be blowed.
Wow.
So put your tongue away. Today is not the day.
Yes, of course, of course. That was a classic. I think a lot of our listeners might be too young to remember, but that was a big advertising campaign for quite some
Yeah, that
years, wasn't it?
was Elvis Presley, wasn't it, I think?
Yes. That's exactly who sang it. Yes. It was that what propelled him to fame, I think.
Yeah, he put a bit more vocal swagger in it, of course, but the words remain as true as ever.
Yes. Well, it was after there were many cover versions as well by sort of people like Cyndi Lauper, and in later years, I think Justin Bieber. They've all done a version, but
Red Hot Chili Peppers is a classic.
yes, which is also confusing because they aren't the flavor of Red Hot Chili Peppers,
And yet they are the color
but
red.
they are the color red. But they
It's
didn't
like
get a
four pillar
jingle telling
boxes dancing
people,
on stage.
yeah. But I remember there were some years where they had to say, please don't eat me, because we're not actually chili pepper. And if we were, it would also be too hot for you to eat anyway. So there's no reason. But people still tried. And I think the lead singer definitely had his knee nibbled, didn't he?
That's why I have security barriers at gigs now. If you go there, you'll find they just don't let you eat the acts anymore.
Yes, it's a real shame. It's a real shame how times change, I think. But suppose, you know, we've got to move on as a society. You can't just eat pop stars. You can't just eat sort of the famous people that are named after foods, and you can't go around sort of licking frogs just because they're bubblegum flavor. That's
It's a sad state of affairs, isn't
it is
it?
a sad state of affairs. But you know, it's you know, but we have you know, you are inventing new things. This is, you know, times move on, new inventions happen. People can now be smelly because of your invention, and before it was, I'd say it was pretty frowned upon. People didn't really like other people being smelly, but now you've got the anti. How many antis is it? And
Well, it's any number.
right.
It depends on whether you have an odd or an even number. Basically, it all
Right.
sort of cancels out after a while. So there's the antiperspirant, and then the anti-antiperspirant, which could just also be called perspirant.
Right, sure.
So you spray it on you, and it produces copious amounts of sweat.
Wow. And what happens if it's used by your auntie? Is that then an auntie and an
That
auntie
is
auntie
auntie's
auntie an
antiperspirant.
auntie auntie perspirant? And then if it's
Yeah,
used by an...
you have to be careful that the two don't cancel each
Right,
other out.
okay. Right, okay.
No, Aunt Sylvia, don't touch the antiperspirant. Oh, not again.
That's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. That wasn't your invention.
What, the Ant Destroyer?
Yes, the art destroyer. You didn't. I don't think you. Did you
No,
invent
but
that?
I did once build an uncle trap.
Right. Did it work?
He's not got out yet.
Wow, that's very good. That's very good. Does he keep, because
I still hear him scratching at night.
Does he keep having to sort of offer you little, like, sort of, because I like uncles are really good for often coming around and giving you like a tenner, a £10 note, or so, you know, try and think of things that will take you to a, I don't know, a.
Yeah, that's why I've got him trapped under the floorboards, hence the scratching. It's things he can slip between two floorboards. £10 notes are good. When they ran out, it was sort of sticks of chewing gum, sure. which was less good.
Yeah.
And then more recently, his fingernails, because he's been down there a while. Wow.
And they're not as nice to chew.
Of course.
Yeah, well, but that's like fingernails. People do chew their. I was never. I don't know about you. I was never a fingernail person who would bite their fingernails. I went to school with lots of kids who did.
I thought you were going
to
say you'd never chewed your own fingernails.
Well, I haven't really. I mean, maybe I should.
You chewed someone else's.
Yeah, no, I haven't chewed anyone else. Well, this was what I was going to say: is people I know chew their own fingernails, but then you never like go out and people say, "Here's a little bowl of fingernails to start your," you know, like how they give bread at a restaurant.
It's a little something I made myself.
Yeah, exactly.
It's polite, isn't it? It's home cooking in a way.
Well, that's it.
If a red snake can taste of strawberry.
And, you know, they're forever growing.
A florid man like me can taste of blancmange. Nibble my fingernails.
I mean,
nibble them now.
It would be horrible, but if people obviously think fingernails are tasty. So you chew on them all the time?
Yeah, that's a given.
Yes. I mean,
I don't know. Do you think that everything we consume, we think is tasty?
Oh, no, that's hard.
If you think about any bits of your body that you may have at one point or another consumed from a certain degree of curiosity.
Look, you're talking about bogies. We all know you're talking about bogies. And there are, I'm sure there...
Let's say bogies.
Yes, you've said, look, we can't... We can't sort of jump around the bogeys here. We just have to mention, but if you're people,
lemon and lime.
I'm sure that's what if they are the colour green, they must taste of green things, potentially avocado, potentially pea soup.
My taste of beetroot. Does that mean I need to go to the
you
doctor?
You absolutely need to go to the doctor. You are in a lot of trouble. But unless you like beetroot, in which case, maybe don't go to the doctor. Yes.
That which does not kill us makes us stronger.
Yes.
Eating bogies, for instance.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you've got like a really horrible cold and it's bright yellow, banana.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a restaurant that someone could set up here and it would be very cost effective because you're always growing fingernails. You've always got bogies. And there's clearly people out there that eat those things. Probably several of our listeners are having a munch on a bogey right now, thinking, why isn't there a restaurant that caters for me?
Well, I think the deeper question is might there already be one, and it just hasn't told you? Have you ever been to a restaurant where the food comes out and you go, this is delicious, but I can't quite place the texture?
Oh, no. It's
just wondering.
That's an awful thought, but it would explain. There are some chefs that do very strange combinations of food. It would explain a lot, I think. Yeah, I'm this is why I don't go out to eat at fancy restaurants. I think just
the risk is too high.
I don't know what that Michelin star is for.
Well, Michelin, of course, is a tyre company. Mm. So I can only assume that some tyres are going into that food at some point, because why else would there be a connection between the two?
They like the food that's most rubbery tasting and, most likely would work stuck to a car. That's what they give stars for.
Yeah, and food which, when you eat it, makes you look like a gigantic white wobbly man made out of tyres. Yes. Yum, 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 big portions.
Yes. Now, I don't know if the listeners will know about that. I don't know what that character was called, the Michelin tyre person.
He has a name. It's a really, really weird name.
Wow, okay. It's not like Michelle, because I'd have thought if they're Michelin tyres, he should be Michelle or Michelle the Tired. That would be a good
No,
name.
I'm almost tempted to leave a little gap in here and imagine that the editing gods of the future might drop the answer in here, and then after that's happened, we can be suitably amazed by the answer that comes in.
Wow. So just through the power of our own incredible memories, this has both come to us. And Andrew, the Michelin tire man's name is Bibendum. Bibendum.
Bibendum,
Bibend,
that was
bibend,
it,
yeah.
yes, which is Latin for I'm made out of big wobbly
Is that
tires.
right? Right. Because
Yeah.
I thought it was I just assumed that he was named after a dramatic bit of music like Bibendum. You know, like something wherever he goes, people are a bit concerned. Bibendum.
No, it's because he ate a lot, so he had a bib and he was at the end of it, so he was Bibendum.
Bibendum, right. Right. It's
You see, Latin is easy when you try.
that's how is that how Latin works? Right.
That's how all Latin
Yes,
works.
those Romans were actually not very sophisticated when it came down to it.
Yeah, they're just making it
They
up
were
as they
just
went.
looking at things. So that's what it was.
Carpe diem. There's a fish that's very sharp.
Yes, that's exactly. I'm trying to think of any other what was Veritas was that's it's Veritas, well,
Well,
things that are particularly
exactly.
tasseled.
Yes,
Yes.
veritas, something extremely
Yes, that's
tasseled.
exactly it. Yes.
You see, it's easily
Very
known. They make
easily.
a big fuss about it.
That's what, yes.
But if they were so clever, why are they all dead?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question, actually. No, I'm thinking about that. I actually don't. Yeah, I mean, I don't think. No, I can't.
I'm not accusing you.
No,
It's not.
it
It's not.
wasn't
It's not an
me.
interrogation.
I didn't kill the Romans. That's not me.
Where were you in zero?
I wasn't there. I can. Well, I can't prove it, actually. That's very hard. That's very hard to prove I wasn't at the fall of the Roman Empire.
Ah, do you know who else wasn't at the fall of the Roman Empire?
You.
Queen
Oh, Queen
Victoria.
Victoria, right. Well.
Do you know what this? So you must be Queen Victoria. I think that's how logic works.
Well, Bibendum wasn't at the end of the fall of the Roman Empire. So how do we know that a giant tire monster didn't eat the Roman Empire? We
We
don't. We
don't.
don't.
Those who do not know history are doomed to repeat
Well,
it,
that's it.
and possibly doomed to be eaten by a gigantic rubber tire man.
It is the problem with history. It is the problem. And for all we
The big
know,
rubber tire man coming to eat
yeah,
you.
it's well, I was my worry, my thing with that tire man is if you were made of tires, all you need to do is fall over once and then you'll bounce away forever. And I don't know how he could live like that. I would be terrified every day. What if I tripped over something? And that's me. I'm either rolling or bouncing away forever.
It's a modern tragedy.
It is a big.
I mean, the question is about how hollow he is. Could he get a puncture?
Oh no, that's a
Would he
very
know?
sad thought, isn't it?
Would he know? Would he have to keep one hand over his knee for the rest of his life? What are
Wow.
you doing? I've got a slow puncture in my left knee. Prove it. Take your hand away. No, do it.
He must be
I
terrible.
regret nothing.
His arch nemesis is a porcupine. And Wow. Well, listen, Andrew, I mean, already I feel like we have learnt so much having you on the show. Thank you. Thank you again for coming on. I've got a question, sort of two questions actually, that I think you are the person that can answer them. But before I
Fire
ask you them,
away.
how do you feel about admin? How are you with admin?
Admin.
Yes, admin.
I'm fine with admin.
Yes, is that an, is
Does
that a
it come up? Does it have a little paper clip in the corner of the screen that's going to try and help me out
Who's
with
going
it?
to try and help you? I was going to say, is that a Latin? Is
I'm
that a
down with all the kid-friendly references, you'll see.
is that a Latin? Is
Children,
admin?
there was a thing called the Michelin Man, and while I'm at it, there used to be a thing which sat in the corner of your screen, and there was a paper clip and said, "You look like you're trying to write a letter. Would you like to get it wrong by yourself, or would you like me to help you do it faster?"
I also like the idea. They may not even know what a paperclip is. I don't know who clips paper together anymore. Do people know have paper? Everything's on a screen.
Yeah, screen clippers.
Screen clippers. But then that's annoying because you
You
just clip your screen
connect
to
two
someone else's
computers
screen
together.
and they'd be like, give me back my screen while you walk off with someone else's tablet stuck to yours. That'd be terrible.
We're a very short distance here from being two old men shouting at clouds.
It's not that short. I think
in my day, you had to clip paper together with small twisted pieces of metal. These days, it's all screens, of course.
I
got locked out of my house the other day and I had to unfold my tablet computer and use it to try and pick a lock with. It's not the same.
I am all for screens. I just don't want to clip the screen to someone else's screen because I think they'd get upset. Yeah, that's well. I was going to ask if admin is it not a German word. I was going to ask if admin's a Latin word, because does it mean the minimum amount of ads?
Administration, a small amount of adverts.
Yes, that's right. Well, there's going to be no adverts. There's just going to be two
that
questions.
That is the smallest possible
yes,
number
that's
of adverts.
It, that's right, yes.
Unless we go into negative advertising, which is where you have special jingles that try and put you off. that's nadmin, technically.
Right. Don't buy this, it will taste disgusting. That sort of, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No one likes eggs. I mean, they do. I do. But, you know, that would be a...
All our rivals' products are full of anthrax.
Yeah, I like nadmin. Particularly also if somebody hates something enough, then I kind of want to see what it's like. So I think it might work the wrong way around for me. Well, listen, I've got two admin questions for you, and I hope that's all right. The first one is very simply, what is this?
Ooh, it's a big one, isn't it? It's some kind of melon, I think,
right.
But it looks like it's been underinflated. It's like a sort of sad, punctured football of a melon.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't sure if I should eat it or not.
No, probably not. I mean, there's the watermelon, and then that's I think what you've got there is more sort of a gravy melon,
right,
which is the soggy alternative.
That does explain the smell.
Savory. It's good to have a balance of sweet and savory when you're going through your daily portion. You know, eat five portions of fruit a day, so you should be eating five melons a day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Once you've had your watermelon, if you've eaten a whole watermelon, it's quite hard to eat four more of those babies.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, a gravy melon helps sort it out. And then a pickled onion melon to add a bit of piquancy in there. And two pea melons. I think it's almost cheating, really, because you can just put pea melons in by the handful, can't you?
Yes. There needs to be more melon variety, I think, actually. Well, because there's honeydew melon as well, isn't there? And then I suppose you offset that with some peanut melon. Or they can go together. Peanut melon's a tricky one. It could be savoury or sweet.
Yeah, peanut melon and honeydew. Mm.
Yeah, that's a nice combination. Hot sauce melon.
And then you need the jelly melon. And you've got the PBJ melon sandwich.
Yes.
Three of your five a day, right there.
It's very hard to eat as a sandwich. They keep rolling off each other.
It's popular amongst the snake community because, of course, they can dislocate their jaw and swallow three melons between two pieces of bread. That's the reason why their jaws hinge like that.
Well, but the issue, I suppose, is if you are a jelly snake, how do you eat a jelly melon?
Is it cannibalism?
Is it? Yes. Well, that's the what you don't. You're like is
the gingerbread man sits in the gingerbread house. And wonders, am I made of house or is the house made of me?
Oh my goodness. That's a big question. That is a big question.
You think you've got problems?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, the gingerbread man, you know, we're talking about the Michelin Bibendum could get one puncture. The gingerbread man just trips over, that's his leg snapped, and then someone will eat it.
Yeah. Who's gonna eat it? He's right there.
Yeah.
And it's so tasty. And if you can't crawl away to find other food, it's a dilemma.
Yeah. And your only protection is a house that people could also eat. And like you really...
Possibly made of your relatives. Yeah. We just don't know.
I think this is why you don't see them in the wild anymore. I think they've...
No.
It's, wow.
Natural selection. Too tasty to live.
Yes. It is. Well, that's their fault. You know, that's they should
probably
have.
Don't see so many jelly steaks in the wild anymore.
Yeah, they need to develop these frog-like defense mechanisms, and they'd all be fine. But Sadly not.
Yeah, complaining about their holidays being disappointing, that's another one.
Yes. Well, I've thank you for identifying the gravy melon. I'm gonna have it with some chip melon, probably, and a pie melon. I think that's probably gonna have to be the way forward. I'm slightly concerned that it was posted through your letterbox as well. It really doesn't look in good shape, but that was probably why it was so hard to
You've got
identify.
the sad feeling, which is related to having too many soggy melons.
Yes.
So,
The well-known.
melancholy.
Well, yes, that's exactly why it's called that. Well, thank you for helping me deal with these issues. The second question, this one is, I'd say this is harder, so I hope you please do think about it, please do listen to it. If you need time, you can have time to deal with this.
Okay, let me just get my brain polishing clock out.
Please do, yes.
Okay, there we go.
Ready? Brain feeling polish.
Yeah.
Do you use it before the question or after you've heard it? When does it?
It depends on how hard the question is.
Okay, well, I'll wait and see. Andrew, would you rather accidentally make rice pudding appear at the least convenient moments or have a stretchy, elastic chin?
I thought you said this was a hard one. It's the stretchy elastic chin for the win every time.
Are you sure?
It has an infinite number of uses. I'm immediately envisaging plucking it as some kind of percussion instrument. Particularly because I do like stroking my chin when I'm thinking. So just the ability to then go, look how much I'm thinking, and then go, bom, 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 bom.
But well, you see, you say that as though it's a positive. Would you be able to get anything else done? Because you stroking your chin would take
Why
so
would I want
long,
to get anything else
and then playing it as an instrument would take so long that you
Yeah.
wouldn't.
So I've got, my career I will be a concert chinist.
That's true.
And maybe a little chamber quartet, find someone with an elongating nose and a couple of people with trig elbows. And we can make beautiful music together.
Yes, that's nice. That is nice, actually. That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I sort of had a fear that you'd get it caught indoors or get it wrapped around a pole or something. Then you can't, like if you're on on a train.
Well, I'm envisaging it having no feeling in it particularly. I mean, if that is the case, then that does change things rather. But I'm sort of thinking if it would stretch a long time, if you can whirl it around like a lasso and use it to, climb up tall buildings, break into banks, the usual.
Yes, yes.
And that would be cool as well. You could be a superhero, Chin Man.
Well, you'd be a super villain. I think if you're breaking into banks, you're a super villain. I don't want to ruin things for you there, but I don't
Oh,
think.
it's a matter of
Right,
perspective, isn't
sure,
it?
yeah. Right, but
Topologically speaking, if you just invert the notion of inside and outside, which you can do with a sphere, I know maths, you simply redefine what the inside of the bank is, and you're breaking out of the bank,
Right. Oh, I see. Okay.
where I shouldn't have been. Into
Oh.
the inside of the bank where all the money happens to be. Now, obviously, all of this money shouldn't be here outside of the bank. I better take it with me
Right.
back inside the bank.
I see. I see.
Perform an inversion with respect to the bank.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I think the fact you've thought it through that much is more supervillain than super. I think that still sounds to me more like a supervillain plan.
I like the fact you thought I thought that through.
It sounds like
For
the sort
longer
of
than it
thing
took the words to
you would have
tumble
said
out
as
of
a
my
big
mouth.
speech just before you were defeated. That's the.
We are more like than you think.
Yes, you see?
Apart from the infinitely extendable chin, that's very much just me.
Yeah, which would, but it would be quite intimidating. A lot of classic superheroes have quite big chins, so they'd be very intimidated by a supervillain who had an
Well,
infinitely
exactly. The
stretchy
classic
chin.
supervillain is the mirror image of the hero. So wobbly chin dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a villain, he's a dude, obviously.
Only
If it was a
villains.
superhero, he was Chin Man. If he's a villain, he's Chin Dude.
Indeed.
That's just how we roll, man. So obviously he would be the arch nemesis of someone who had a very firm, very strong, chiseled jaw.
Would you go for a mask that covered everything except the chin, or would you go for a sort of ancient Egyptian Tutankhamun like long-chinned look?
Oh, I like that, like a chin piece.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I like the sound of it. But if it was gonna now, if I am embracing my destiny and turning to the dark side of the chin, then I think I definitely want to have the chin free for some pendulous chin swinging action.
Yes.
You think you can get me square jawed, girl? Hashtag not all superheroes. I will defeat you with my swinging chin, my chinny chin swing swing. I need to work on the name.
Yeah, it's you'd be hard to defeat. I don't know what your mate. Yeah, is that how you defeat someone with a very square? Maybe a very uncomfortable scarf, a balaclava, perhaps something that retains the chin to the face.
I like the idea of a very uncomfortable scarf because that would
Yes.
be quite an achievement amongst the scarf
Yeah, it'd be
community. This
really, it'd
was
be really. No, it's so
made
itchy
of
and
blades.
very. I thought just really
Oh,
scratchy.
right. Okay, now
Yeah.
I went blades. You went, no, the material
Yes.
itself is made from 100% cotton-rich wool
That's right.
fiber.
So when your chin swung,
You
it would itch
fiend!
against it. It would itch and scratch. You'd be like, "This is unbearable. I don't want to
Oh,
wear this
now that's
scarf
a super
anymore."
villain.
Yeah.
Itchy neck man.
They'd be so irritating. They'd be very hard to defeat. Someone that made you annoyingly itchy, just an annoying wool man, would be very
Well,
irritating.
yeah.
Machino wool annoying man.
Keep
Llama
away from me, dry clean only.
llama dude. Yeah, that'd be yeah. I like how quickly you chose that. I think you didn't even
I've somewhat dismissed
the rice
the
pudding.
porridge
Yeah,
and the rice pudding, beg your pardon.
well, that was it. You didn't even know what it
I
was. Yeah,
dismissed it so much. Those are the same substance.
is that right?
Rice pudding and porridge,
Right.
it's the same. And wallpaper paste, those three things, just different
So just clever,
advertising.
yeah, clever advertising to make you seem like you've got three, because often people do have those three things together and they haven't
The thing
realized.
which put me off was that one was the phrase "the least convenient moment." Because the chin, the
Yeah.
elongating chin was just an out and out
You have it all the
win.
time, yeah.
Whereas anything followed by the phrase "at the least convenient
Yes,
moment"
yes.
just kind of feels a little bit like, oh, I don't know, I've seen that sort of thing go wrong
Yeah,
before.
yes, that is true. That is true. It would.
You have the biggest birthday cake in the world at the least convenient moment.
Yes, that's
As
true.
I am balancing on a tightrope across the great gorges of America, here's your cake. You regret nothing.
That is true. That is true. And yeah, you're right. It would happen at incredibly. Yeah, there's. It would be. I think there would be an awful lot of rice puddings in toilets, unfortunately. I think that would be probably the most basic level, all the way to in someone's face at like a big UN meeting. Although that could be quite funny. I mean, there's probably comedy value.
But if it was funny, it wouldn't
It
be
wouldn't
the
be
least
least
convenient
convenient.
moment.
Yeah.
It's the devil is in the detail. I think just I'm imagining sort of the end of the movie, the guy and the girl are finally facing each other, sparks are flying, and then rice pudding
Yes. Yeah.
everywhere.
It'd be moments like, well, luckily I can't be defeated except by
Tobey
anything except
Maguire
the rice
dangling
pudding.
upside down,
Yeah.
Kirsten Dunst going upwards, rice pudding flying out of Spider-Man's eyes.
Why out of his
Just everywhere. Why are you crying? I'm not. It's just rice
That'd be
pudding.
the most horribly uncomfortable. To have rice pudding out of your eyes, I think, would be up there with a awful scarf. That would be the most uncomfortable thing.
Rice pudding eyes and uncomfortable scarf, man. It's the
Yes.
comic book series no one is asking for.
But you do bring up the good point. I think Spider-Man as a hero, if he could shoot rice pudding instead of web, That would have made for a wonderfully different tale. That's,
Well, he
yeah.
was going to, but it just didn't scan in the song.
Yes. Yeah. I would just...
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Shoots a web any size. Fires rice pudding endlessly out of his eyes. Hang on, that doesn't really scan.
Yes, yeah, that's it's a shame though. It's a shame. I think, and the rice pudding companies were very pleased with that. Maybe that's why it didn't work.
Yeah, I think it turned out to be an early form of an advertising. Rice pudding sales
I
just
think
went off
so.
a
Well,
cliff
and then there
after
was
that.
also the problem where people realized Spider-Man wore red and blue, so it was probably sort of strawberry and bubblegum flavor, and then he got eaten, and that was a pretty awful last episode, I think.
Yeah, by the Lime
By
Goblin.
the Lime Goblin, yes, it was a very tasty show. Rice pudding, Lime Goblins. Wow.
Tasty spiders. Yeah, moving on.
Wow. Well, Andrew, I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed with how quickly you answered that question, but also how much thought you put into it. I think a stretchy elastic chin is clearly the way forward. You're absolutely right. Well, look, we've hit the main question. I say main question, it's sort of two questions. We've had this question, and it's been sent in by, I think, Ave, I might, or Ave. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right. A-V-E.
I think it's short for Avenue.
Avenue, right? That's it, Avenue. So we've been sent this question by Avenue. Do you think an entire Avenue has sent this question as a collaborative question, or?
I think so. I think they probably contributed one word at a time.
Right, that's nice. That's very, very hard
And
to do.
they just passed the piece of paper down the street and gone and write a word on this.
It might, do you know what? It makes this question make a lot more sense if that was how they did it. Yeah. Right. Well, thank you, this entire avenue. I don't know where you are in the world, but thank you for sending this in. They say I'm 10 laughing snakes old. I don't know if you, how you are with your age charts, but I work that out to be around 54, I think.
In snake years.
Yes. Yeah. They don't say if it's jelly snakes or, but
Well, laughing snakes, there's a big connection between laughing and jelly.
yes, wobbling. Yes, it's the same amount of wobbling. Yes, you're right. You're right. Yes. Well, so probably about 54 then. So an entire avenue, maybe that's their collective ages once they've divided. They've added everyone's age together and divide it by the amount of people, or perhaps they're all just exactly the same age. It's very hard to tell with this lack of detail.
Yeah, I think what people should do in streets is you should only live in the house that is the same number as your age. It would make this sort of thing much easier to work out.
what happens on your birthday? Do you have to get out of your
You
house?
move house, everyone
Right,
moves up one
sure.
up.
Yeah, that's quite
I mean,
stressful.
you have to share the house with everyone in the street who is that age.
Right. Yeah. It's quite.
You want to move into number 18, it's a party house.
But then number sort of 104. It's quite sedate.
Hey, I live at 98. It's a
It's.
terrible smell of talcum powder.
Well, also, number four is probably just a lot. If there's no grown-ups there, it's just going to be a lot of
Nope.
really horrible, smelly sort of nappies and.
They grow up so fast.
Yeah, number two, I should say. I a big insult to 4-year-olds saying you're still in nappies there. But the number two, pretty grim. I also
I'm sorry, I am just laughing because you said the phrase number two.
number two,
I've
yeah,
gone.
number two, which means.
Obviously, I shouldn't be living at 98. I should be living at 11.
Yeah, but the fact that number two would also be filled with poo simply on the basis of and that's beautiful. That's beautiful how that came together. I just feel the stress of moving house is quite a lot, and the fact that it'd be happy birthday, get out, and you'd have to then do something. There's something very horrible about
Do
that.
it to the tune, you know. Happy birthday, get out. Happy birthday, get out. Happy birthday, start packing. Now release the
That
hounds.
makes it better. And then a birthday cake arrives at the least convenient moment, just as,
Always, and it's made of rice pudding.
yeah, that would be terrible. What a terrible. Well, look, hopefully for this avenue they are of different. Well, I hope that isn't the situation on this avenue. That's why they've got it together. They've sent these two questions. The first one is sort of a question. So, would you like both questions all at once? Would you like them in reverse order? Would you like
Can I have one of the questions all at once
You can have one of the
and then the
questions.
other one later?
Yes, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. You can perfectly have that. Question one then, is, do you, I'm like eating bed frames for breakfast?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone knows about breakfast in bed.
Mm-hmm.
That is a grand tradition of our time. And this is just, I think, suggesting, as far as I can tell, taking it one step forward and having beds for breakfast.
Yes. Yeah, which
There are hotels out there which are bed and breakfast. This is your bed is your breakfast.
Yes. Yeah, and it obviously
You can
makes
make a
sense.
sandwich, you can make a bed. Add it up, people.
Well, I think it makes sense having them for breakfast, because if you had them for dinner, then you'd have nothing to sleep in at night time because
Exactly.
you'd have eaten your bed.
So I think the question is, what sort of food would make the most comfortable bed for the night? And then you wake up in the morning and you consume the bed, and then you are ready for the day. I'm imagining a sort of taco.
Right, that's nice. You're sort of folded into it at night, and then you have to eat your way out. Yes.
Yeah, it could be a bunk bed, and then you've got, savory below, sweet up above.
That's nice. Well, then you could have like wafer biscuits would be quite good for that. You know, when you get those
Oh
like
yeah.
stacked wafer biscuits, that would be decent. I mean, we mentioned gingerbread houses earlier. I don't see why a ginger bed,
Gingerbed.
yeah.
Ooh, I like it. Brand
That's it, gingerbread,
Trademark
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Gingerbed.
Yeah. That could be quite nice. The issue I suppose I have is that when people people sleep, they move around a lot. Quite a lot of people fart in their sleep. And then you'd have to wake up and you'd have to eat the gingerbread that you farted on.
But if you yourself are a gingerbread man at this
Oh
point,
yes, yeah.
then isn't your fart a delicious cloud of
Bum
sweet ginger?
ginger, yes, yeah, but very possibly that's true.
Have you never smelt a gingerbread man's fart?
I have not. I don't
Next time you
normally.
get a gingerbread man, pull its finger off
But that's
and
the sad thing, is it
smell.
doesn't. You don't pull its finger, like as you said, it pulls its finger off, and then they're often. But sometimes they do fart out of sort of upset, don't they? A sort of scare.
Pull my
Yeah.
finger. Ow!
Ah. Yeah.
Not that hard, you brute!
Yes, that is true. Yeah, well, I will have to smell. I never thought of that. I just sort of ate them, which is quite cruel. Same with jelly babies. I guess they do jelly farts. yeah
Yeah,
yeah yeah
absolutely.
yeah
Little squeaky ones.
yeah but we're talking
Squeaky
like
wobblers. Who in their time has not done a squeaky wobbler? Often, as the phrase goes, at the least convenient moment.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's...
Ah, Vicar, how very pleased to meet you.
I wonder, back to the Michelin man, surely every fart that Bibendum does is a, if you're a tyre and you have to release air,
Rubbery.
yeah, that's an awful sound.
Rubbery with a certain asphalt texture to it.
smells
Air you can
like
chew.
sort of burning rubber. That's
Yeah,
awful.
and that's how he started. He had a book. Five stars. And it was just originally a list of places where he'd farted
Yes.
on his motor travels around Europe, and he'd given himself star ratings. And then his wife found it, and he was just embarrassed, as I think is understandable.
Yes.
And he just lied. He's lied his rubber head off
Wow.
and said, "This is a guidebook to the best restaurants in Europe."
Wow. Wow. But I guess that must have been awkward when he had to then take her to the restaurants that were just places he'd farted.
Many of which he'd been barred from.
Yes. Wow. Wow. I feel the more we talk about him, the more I feel quite sorry for him and his life. He's had a hard time.
But he can smile through it. He's got little choice. He's got rubbers for
Yes,
tires
that's
for
true. Yes,
lips.
yeah. Yeah. Well, if he, I'm guessing he would eat a rubber tired bed, like, well, because we're just, if gingerbread people are on ginger beds, but you were saying you'd ideally go for a taco. You know, I think it
I
depends on what you
don't,
what
it's
you
my intention. I've worked it all out. I have a plan of attack.
would you have the but would you have a plain tacker? You wouldn't go for the full refried beans, guacamole, sour cream.
When I climbed into it in the evening, it would be a plain tacker. When I got out of it in the morning, it would be refried
That's
beans.
see, that's horrible. And then there's no way.
That's how they make refried
Is
beans.
that it? That
Oh, come
explains a
on.
lot,
The
yeah.
clue is there in the
Yes,
name.
you're
They
right.
don't disguise it. It is quite
I
clearly. What have you done to these beans? You've refried them,
Yeah,
have you?
that's
What happened in the meantime? Why wasn't frying them enough? Did they go cold? And then I'm not gonna. I'm gonna throw away these cold beans. No, I'm gonna refry them. Really, really, that's the best thing you can do with these beans. Yeah, waste not, want not.
I can't believe it was there in plain sight all this time. That's horrifying. It's really,
Isn't it? Isn't
it is. It
it?
is.
Wait till you hear about Toad in the Hole.
Yeah, it does mean they could get served alongside some nails or bogies and kind of fit in with the category.
Well, there's refried beans, reboiled eggs, and then there's cornflakes that have gone soggy in the milk and then been put through a mangle and hung out to dry.
Yes, that's those are the
Reflaked corn.
reflaked corn.
Oh, that sounds lovely and appealing, doesn't it? It's like what you get when you take your socks off on a hot day.
That's really awful. That is really awful. Yeah, that is. I mean, the thing is all your we're building up to is, you know, if you eat bed frames for breakfast, whatever you are, you've slept in that bed, and then you've
Yeah,
got to eat
you've
it.
made your own
You've
bed.
made your own bed.
Now
Now
lie
you've
in
got to
it.
eat it. Yeah.
And also, you are what you eat.
Yes. Yes.
And QED. And into bed for breakfast. Then move on to a sideboard for lunch. And some sort of cocktail of chairs come the evening.
That sounds nice. That sounds very sophisticated. Yes. I'm trying to think what chair would go nicely, but a little chaise longue, something like that.
The dining chair,
Yeah.
obviously.
Oh yes, of course.
Hiding in plain
Of
sight.
course. Yes, very
Why
good.
is it called a dining chair? What's so very special about
Because you
it?
have to tuck in.
You
Yeah.
can eat it.
And the dining table. And the
Yes.
whole dining room.
Oh, yeah, if you're
If you're
really
really
hungry.
angry, yes. Yeah, wow.
Done your exercise for the day, you've got those extra calories to burn, eat a dining room.
Well, I this is this whole
And run in terror from the living room.
Oh no. That's a very scary thought. I'd never thought of the living room as like a monster, but it explains why you can sometimes get stuck in the sofa. Sofas often look like they eat people.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they're a lot bigger than you think. That's what I call so far.
Right.
Because it's a perspective thing. They get closer and closer, and you realize exactly how big they are, and then the cushions consume you.
Wow. Unless you call them a couch, a coach, and then they drive you
Ah, but have you ever
places.
heard of a couch potato?
Yes.
Yes, that is a person who sits on a couch for so
They
long
turn
that the
into a.
couch goes, yum, yum, they're just like a potato. Oh.
And that's the reverse of you eating a bed frame. That's like the furniture getting
Yeah.
its own back.
It's the circle of life.
Wow. Well,
We eat the furniture eats us. If you eat the bed, it is only fair for the bed to also have a chance to eat you.
and if you
I'm sure I saw a diagram in biology once.
you're right, it's what happens when you're tucked in too tight. That's absolutely the point
Yeah,
of it. Yeah,
yeah.
it starts to digest. Well, I mean, this is a big question. Yeah, it's a big question. I feel like I mean, I think probably the answer for a avenue then is yes, you do. Yes, you do like eating. Yes,
Yes.
good. It's
Yes. You eat them and they may also eat you.
Wow. Well, impressive, very impressive.
Ouroboros, the snake biting its own tail.
Is that
The bed eating its own pillow.
an advert or is that an advert? I can't work out if you've sold that to me or.
Well, it depends who I'm selling it to. Maybe
True.
I'm selling it to furniture.
It's very, well, very deep.
If your bed is listening, look at the tasty young child.
It's for the listeners who are listening to this
Night
while,
night.
Yeah, well, just before bed, play.
This is more of a morning podcast.
This is what I was going to say. Have
you.
your podcast for breakfast. That is the
yeah. Before the podcast has you for breakfast,
you'll be fine. Well, listen, there is a second question. I feel like I've got we've got to check. And Avenue has asked, why are bananas slippery?
Why? It's a tragedy, isn't it? And it's very important here that we check whether by slippery we mean that they slide around a lot, or whether we mean that they are like or resemble slippers.
Yes.
Because both of those things are slippery.
Yes.
And I think the real truth here is if you put bananas on your feet as slippers, you will discover why they are called slippers, because they are indeed slippery.
Right.
Both senses of the word.
Would you just put the peel? It's quite hard to put your foot in before you've peeled them. Are you talking just put the banana peel on your foot?
What kind of a monster do you think I am? Of course, you peel them.
Sure.
And if the kind of monster you think I am is a Bigfoot, then you peel five of them,
right,
and pop one of them on each gigantic deformed toe.
Yes, which is why Bigfoot's very hard to track down, isn't it? Because no one can find
yeah,
their
just,
tracks. They're
just
sliding
bananas
everywhere.
And then,
there's just these long sliding trails.
Yeah, avalanches have a natural cause. Everything has a simple explanation if you look hard long enough and hard enough. And in this case, it's because he's sliding uncontrollably down a mountain with 10 bananas on his feet.
Just constantly wailing. It's
yeah, that's why it's also known as the Sasquatch. It's because that's the noise that's made by 10 bananas hitting a rock at the bottom of a mountain.
Yes. It's an unfortunate existence, actually. And then he climbs back up to the mountain, puts new bananas on his feet, happens all over again.
Yeah.
But,
it's tragic. It's tragic.
It's very sad.
Now, what people don't understand, of course, is that they don't call him big, which means that the rest of him isn't. Because if all of him was on the same scale as his feet, he'd just be called big.
Yes.
But he's Bigfoot, so he's an enormous feet and a tiny little body.
Right.
Little matchstick legs going down to big feet.
Which is, it's going to be hard for him to buy shoes. It's probably quite embarrassing. And he's like, can I have a size 400, please? And then they sort of look and laugh. And that's why he's opted for bananas. So bananas are slippery, but they're also slippery.
I would say that is interestingly not the question, isn't it? The question was not, are bananas slippery?
Why?
The question is why?
Yes. Yes.
What is the motive?
right. And is it...
If you put the banana in the chair and you play good cop, bad cop with it, and you grill that banana, don't grill a banana. It tastes disgusting.
Right.
If you interrogate that banana, if you put a spotlight on it and wait for it to turn brown, you can get the truth out of it if you try. Why? Why are you so slippery? Well, let me tell you a story about the time that I was a jewel thief in Cairo. No, don't avoid the question, banana. Yeah. Yes, no, you're right. I should do that. It is nonsense, nonsense. I am a window cleaner. I work in Newcastle and I only ever work in extremely high-rise flats. No, you're avoiding the question. Never slap a banana around the face.
No.
It does neither you nor the banana any good at all.
No.
They are so slippery, it's very hard to get a straight answer out of them. It's very hard to get a straight anything out of a banana. They are legendarily curvy.
Yes. But it sounds like you've done, because I mean, when you slap them enough, they become baby food. And then, admittedly, easier to interrogate in some ways, but they won't make a lot of sense when they're quite mushy. What is the what answers have you garnered from a bananaed?
Poor parenting.
Right. That's what
I think it's always possible to blame the parents. As we know, the parents of a banana are canaries and snakes.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And if you've got a canary for a father and a snake for a mother, you know, it's you're gonna be slippery. Mm. Now, like a snake, you see, you've got that curved shape and also the ability to shed your skin.
Yes.
In the case of a snake revealing another snake, like a very, very rubbish magic trick.
Okay. Yeah.
What is inside this snake? You'll never guess. It's another snake.
Yes.
In the case of a banana, delicious, tasty stuff.
Yes.
And from the canary, you get the yellowness and the beautiful singing voice.
Yes, of course.
Do people realise this about the banana?
Of course. Yes, of course.
The and natural alto of the fruit world.
And also, much like snakes, green bananas taste like lime. Yellow bananas taste like bananas.
Bananas.
Yeah, red bananas.
Brown so, bananas. Yeah. Don't eat brown bananas. There's any number of reasons, but now you know the real one. We just can't say
yes, we can't talk about poo on this podcast.
Simply use the code phrase.
Yes, or they live at number two. That's that is it.
If your banana is 2 years old, don't eat it.
Don't eat it. Definitely, that's
it will certainly be brown if it is 2 years old.
That's the advert right there. That's the one that they used to.
Bananas, don't eat them.
Wow. Well, thank you, Andrew. That is the expertise that we needed on this show. I hope everyone on the Avenue is pleased with that answer. And if any individuals on the Avenue are not pleased, I will get them to send in individual complaints. But I think overall, as an Avenue, they're probably very happy.
Well, then anyone who's not pleased, we'll just ask them to move into number one.
Yes, very good.
And then they can just have the babies scream at them.
Sounds awful.
Non-stop until they mend their ways.
It's a very cruel plan, but I like it. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for your expertise. Thank you for answering the Avenue's Ave's questions. What are you up to in the next sort of decade, century? You got much going on?
I'm going to evolve. I've been thinking about it. It's been about time, let's face it. We had apes, hominids, humans, and then we just kind of let the ball slip a little bit. So I think next stage of human evolution.
Yeah. What are you going for?
I haven't worked it out beyond that. I mean, you know.
Stretchy chin?
Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah. And stretchy chin is an option. We discussed it earlier.
Stretchy chin, stretchy face.
Yeah.
Great big white tubular rubber man face.
Yeah, there you go.
And then I'm going to go all around the world rating my farts.
Wow. Well, look.
Next stage of human evolution. good
luck to you, and I hope to get you back on the show as a huge tire person at some point in the future.
Some may say it won't be that long.
Thanks, Andrew.
Because parking sucks. Looking for a space, driving round and round.
Thanks so much to Andrew Barnett-Jones for having time in between inventing his anti-deodorant to talk to me and answer AV's question. AV, I do hope you liked your answer, but if not, why not write any complaints you have inside a banana skin, and it's very likely a Bigfoot will use it as a toe shoe, and I'll never have to see it. When Andrew isn't talking about bananas, he writes for so many cartoons that you have probably watched already, so do look out for his name on the credits next time you watch Mr. Bean, Lloyd of the Flies, Boy, Girl, Dog, Cat, Mouse, Cheese, or so many more. And if you have a question that you need to have answered, then please do get your flatulent goons, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. And if those grown-ups want to help make this show happen too, they can sign you up to the Linda edition, which is advert-free, very Linda-free. It's very even more Linda-free than this edition, and it comes out one day early too. And they can do that on Acast Plus, the Comedy Club for Kids Patreon page, or Apple Podcasts. And go and have a look at comedyclubforkids.co.uk too, because there's stuff on there like videos and where all our live shows are and other things. Well, I think after all that, I've very nearly completely forgotten just how boring car parks are. Phew. Hello? Oh, it's the Comedy Club for Squids. What have I done to annoy you now? I haven't even been near water this week. You've got information? Okay, consider me listening. Car parks are actually carp arcs. And if you look closely, there are lots and lots of carp fish that hide in them for safety. Is that right? Oh, they need to be boring. Otherwise, all of us would see the fish and they wouldn't be safe anymore and they'd have to flee somewhere else. Wow. Thanks for that, Comedy Club for Squids. Well, I see. Right. Well, carp arcs are actually carp arcs. Very clever. Very clever. Wow. That changes my whole mind. They are not boring at all. But hang on, wait. Does that mean deer parks are actually de-ruparks? What does it mean? What hides there? What are D's? Oh, that's going to bother me forever and I'll never stop thinking about it. I almost wish I was a car. Bye!
You have been listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents. Radio nonsense! Radio nonsense! Radio nonsense! Radio nonsense! Radio nonsense! It's the end.